better recognize.
Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Government Operations Committee meeting to order. The time is 1:03 p.m. Congressman Keene, will you render us an afternoon prayer?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We ask that you just watch over all of those who are suffering. And we ask that you just watch over our mourners. We ask that you guide us in the coming days. Watch over all of us and our families. Just keep us safe. And we ask that you give us wisdom to make the best decisions for the Osage people. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Congressman King. Next we have on our agenda is approval of the minutes. Oh, I apologize. Roll call, please.
Congressman Keene.
Present.
Congressman Maker.
Here.
Congresswoman Redcorn.
Here.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Here.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present. We do have a quorum. Thank you, Congressman Maker, for the reminder. Now, let's go on to the number four, approval of the minutes, and our clerk, Ms. Kimball, sent those to us at 1 p.m. today. If you could please go through the minutes committee, I'd appreciate it.
Chair.
Congresswoman Redcorn.
Motion to approve the minutes dated September 8th, 2023.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Yes?
One question.
Certainly.
It says that the meeting was called by Chair Lemon, and it also says Chair Lemon was absent.
So I have the vice chair declared there was a was declared a quorum was present. And you're right, it does say the meeting was called to order by Chair Lemon. So that should say Mr. Maker, Chair, Vice Chair Maker. Thank you, Vice Chair. I appreciate that.
Just to keep the record straight.
Maybe I should not make the motions then.
Pardon? You're going to amend your motion?
Yeah. Motion to approve. Did you make an amendment to them just now?
Yes, amendment. Okay.
Motion to approve the minutes dated September 8th, 2023, as amended.
Second.
Thank you so much, committee. All right, now, there is a motion on the floor. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of approving the minutes as amended, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries, and the minutes for September 8th as amended have been approved. Thank you, committee. Next on our agenda is ONCA 2385, an act to provide an appropriation to the Osage Nation Executive Branch for fiscal year 2024 in the amount of $65,909,903 and to establish an alternate effective date. Committee, we have three sections left under this particular bill, which is Section 20, Section 48, and Section 53. We have representation from the editorial board. Yes?
Chair, if I may, I think we reviewed, did we not review section 20?
No, ma'am. Not that I recall.
Section 20, let me see.
I know we did the election.
What the minute say? I think we did.
I thought we did.
I had it marked on.
I haven't reviewed.
Oh, you're wrong.
Because it was just basic, like.
We did, yes.
Yeah, we did.
Why did we not? You are right.
Okay.
Would be section 48, ma'am.
Well, thank you, Congresswoman Rivard.
I do not recall reviewing it, so I do apologize, Ms. Brandstetter. It's already been reviewed.
We are going to talk about Osage News, though.
We are, and we're going to jump down to Osage News before we talk about the Office of Grants and Compliance. Ms. Duty is here to discuss the Osage News budget, which is section 53. You have the floor, my dear.
I also want to note that our both our president and vice president of our editorial board is here. Jerry Jean Brandstetter is here, and Terry Manthe is on the call. If you have any questions for the editorial board.
Thank you.
Okay, so looking at section 53, Osage News, everything pretty much stayed the same except for the IDC cost has significantly raised our ask. I did email you all a program plan late. I acknowledge that and I apologize. But it really hasn't changed that much. We are really trying to cut back on our operations expenses because we feel that we're going to be able to pay for that with grant funding. The only drawback whenever I was doing this budget was that I anticipate receiving three grants this fall, but we won't be notified until late October. So what I'm hoping is that the majority of these operations expenses I'm going to be able to not use. I'll just instead use grant funding for that. That's part of our, this fiscal year, FY23, we received grant funding, and we've had a consultant agency come on board and basically bring me into the 21st century of the news industry. So we're creating a business plan, revenue plan. Our goal is to be financially sustainable, but we know that we won't ever be fully financially sustainable because we don't have the populace, the readership base to pay for that, especially since we don't charge for subscriptions. And we don't have a paywall on our website either. So those are like two of the main ways that news organizations make money today. And they're also moving toward grants. And that's where I'm going. So I have been applying for grants, and I'm hoping to have won some substantial grants this fall. So, and obviously, you all will be the first to know because I'll be bringing them to the Congress so you can appropriate them. But anyway, so with that being said, we do have some exciting things coming up. Along with our consultants, we have an event planner that grant funding paid for, and we are having an October 22nd interest panel. I don't know if any of you listened to the interest podcast by Rachel Adams Heard about head right interest, land interest, and the Drummond family in Hominy during the 1920s and 30s. So she's coming down, and We're also having KOSU journalist Allison Arreta as well, and Congressman Maker will be joining us because he was interviewed for the podcast, as well as White Hair Director Tara Dameron. She's also going to be on the podcast. And I must say that last week I was very ill, but I had planned on calling Oklahoma AG Gintner Drummond to come, so I'm hoping that he will also join the panel. And it's a free event of food, everything, and just a really educational time and a safe space for everyone to talk about the Reign of Terror and what was discussed and trust, and maybe get some answers to some longstanding questions and maybe misconceptions about our community. We also have other events planned because we really want to help with our election process. We feel like our voter turnout could be a lot more, so we're going to be holding some pop-ups in our reservation communities to educate people on how to get out and vote and participate in our electoral process. We also have our congressional candidate debates coming up, and we are going to hopefully kind of revise that platform and make it more, I would say, friendlier to Osages that aren't on the reservation. So hopefully that will be rolling out soon, and we'll be getting advertising out for that as well. Let me see. So our professional fees are our biggest expense other than our salaries and wages. Our professional fees are the basic printer, designer for the newspaper, some freelance pay, contracts with writers. So those haven't changed, and they're the same as they've been, I would say, for the past 5 to 7 years even. The most change that you're going to see is probably our website. We are developing new advertising for our website. You know, all we can do is try. We've done a lot this year. We are a member of the Trust Project cohort. We're the only tribally owned newspaper in the country, in the world, that is part of the Trust Project. And you can see the Trust Project indicator on our website and on all of our articles. And with that came, we identify our sources, we identify, our research purposes, and in some cases we identify why we wrote the story that way. So we try to be as open and honest as possible to increase transparency for the Osage people, and therefore increasing our integrity of the Osage News and its journalism. Other than that, everything is kind of same old, as you would say. So if you guys have any questions, you know, I'm here, our board president is here, and Tara Manthe is here.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Shaw. Congressman King.
Thanks, Director Doody. I don't know if you guys heard, there's a big movie coming out next month. So I'm just wondering if you feel like you guys have the resources, because obviously everyone's gonna go see the Killers of the Flower Moon, and I think you guys have done an excellent job covering it thus far. Do you feel like you're properly equipped for when it hits the theaters, and just to provide coverage of that? Go ahead.
Yes, we have been working closely with Apple Publicity on organizing coverage for that. Within our collaboration and partnership, we want to enhance the Osage story. And, you know, we're Wajaji always, and we're proud Wajajis. So we've been working closely with them, and I feel that we are in a good place to cover any upcoming stories that come out of the release of the film. And we also hopefully plan to have a few events of our own. We do have an upcoming release of our making of Killers of the Flower Moon from the Osage News. I don't know if you've, well, if you've paid attention to all of the wonderful photography that has come from Cody Hammer, our former photographer, those are all going into a book that we are developing right now, as well as all of our news articles and interviews. And we plan to publish that actually in October near the release and hope to have a signing and other events. But yeah, that film, I can't wait for the world to see it, and I can't wait for it to be over, to be quite honest.
Thank you.
That has taken up a lot of our resources and time, so.
Thank you. Congresswoman Rebar?
Yes, thank you. So I'm glad to hear that you're seeking grants, but also I believe that you guys should be funded, you know, with tribal dollars. Most certainly, Benny told me that he was going to be the one assigned to this branch during session. But I'm not seeing the stories roll out daily. We've got some hot topics going on right now, and I feel it's important that our folks are aware of what's going on. And I've noticed that that's been lacking for some time, even during the last session. And our special sessions is that I feel like I'm telling people what's going on because they're not able to hear or read about it. And you are the go-to. You're like our nucleus of information. But it's easy to post an agenda, but it doesn't really say this is how you get there to listen live, or it doesn't go any further than here's what Congress is doing. And I just feel like, you know, that we have a lot of, we've been going on for a week now. Have I heard anything?
There has been two articles about legislation that has been filed, and about the legislative address as well. But I hear you, and I will definitely get with our staff and see how we can better the coverage for the legislative branch.
Yeah, we thought Benny would be here with us. We were like, Benny's gonna be here every day with us and be sitting right there.
I will let him know he is missed.
He is missed. I was gonna ask if you could just maybe talk to us about what your program income was last year. We haven't received financials in so long. I wasn't able to see a financial on Osage News, so I don't know if you've hit your program income. I'm just looking for recent data, and I was wondering whatever you had, you know, projected in 23, did you hit your mark? Or what do you feel?
When the casino stopped, I mean, we didn't hit our mark, because if you think of grant funding as revenue, then we more than hit our mark. But in terms of just like advertising revenue, we did not. When the casinos decided not to stop advertising with us, that did hurt us with advertising. We did write an article about that. Number two, the casino under different management has said that they are going to start advertising with us again. So I haven't reflected that in the budget because that conversation only took place like 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Well, that's unfortunate that our own entities wouldn't utilize the Osage News.
Well, since we are moving forward for a more for-profit, we did consider going to other gaming entities and asking if they would like to advertise on the Osage News.
Okay, those are my only questions.
Thank you, Congresswoman Rebar. Members of the committee, members of Congress, are there any other questions, comments? Ms. Manthe, would you like to say anything?
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for considering our budget. And I just wanted to emphasize how much the staff has worked this past year and several years on all of these projects related to the movie, the trust project, increasing the grant funding, all with the same staff capacity and the same basic financial structure. So really, it's a big time of transition for us as we're moving into, as Shannon said, really trying to develop our own revenue streams, and really appreciate your support in this building year. And we're excited to prepare a new business plan in the next several months and begin rolling those things out, like the events, the book, partnerships with local news organizations. And I'm just really proud of the staff for really raising the profile of the Osage News in, over the past several years, you know, regionally with those partnerships with local news, nationally with the Trust Project, and then internationally with the coverage of the movie. So really wanted to thank you all for your support of the Osage News over the years, and we're just grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Manthe. So I just wanted to, Shannon, you made a comment, and I kind of want to circle back to it, because Congresswoman Rivard made another comment kind of in follow-up to it about being independent, you know, and you feel like, and Congresswoman Rivard's comment was that I feel like we should fund you. Let's talk about some advantages of being independent. And the only reason I ask that is because, you know, there are a lot of, there's a lot of, you know, conversations that go on about why isn't the news doing this, or how come the news isn't doing that, and or they should be doing this. And so what are some advantages and would you say disadvantages? If you want to, however you want to kind of broach that subject, because I've always felt like, you know, it's never really been kind of talked about amongst, you know, in a forum like this. And it could get heated, or it could get a little bit, you know, uncomfortable. But I mean, that's what we asked to be elected for.
So what are the advantages to being independent?
Not tribally funded.
Oh, not tribally funded. Well, we'll always be tribally funded. I think when we really started to focus on being financially independent was when COVID hit and the casinos closed and everyone was worried that they were going to be laid off or not have a job. I think during that time, I felt probably as did other Osages, is that we wanted to help one another, but also we didn't want to be a hindrance. We didn't want to be an anchor on the nation's finances. And I know that, you know, we can't please everyone. The relationship between the Osage News and the executive branch and the legislative branch has been good, bad, and ugly. Not everyone likes our coverage. There is a lot of people that do like our coverage, and it's all we can do is the best we can do. And as far as advantage of being independent, I think that's my answer, is that we didn't want to be a hindrance to the Osage Nation, and we just want to do our part to, you know, make sure that there's additional funding for things that, like services. I don't know. Does that answer your question?
It does in a roundabout way. Right. Do you know of any, thank you, do you know, is, oh, I don't know the name. Do you know of any actually independent Native American newspapers that are independent from their actual tribal relations?
Yes, Navajo Nation.
That's what I was going to, it was in my mind. I wasn't gonna, didn't want to be wrong.
That's the only one.
Thank you. Committee, members of Congress, do you have any more questions concerning the Osage News budget that's in front of us? Okay. Well, what we do at this point is just say that we've reviewed it, and we'll note it in the minutes. And then now that we've completed all of our sections, we'll report this particular piece of legislation out to go back to the body of Congress, and then this bill will then go to appropriations. Okay. Just to let you all know, so you'll have another chance. To, you know, if you need to add anything or whatever. Oh, one other question. You talked about some possible grant funding in October. So, well, then will you be coming, will you be doing a budget modification? Okay. So we can
be
expecting that.
Yes, I'll be coming
that.
Back. Yes.
Okay. Great. And Ms. Brandstetter, I appreciate you being here, and I do apologize again. I seriously do not recall going over the editorial board's budget last week, so I'm glad you're here today. Would you like to say
That's
anything?
That's fine. I know most of you, but for those that I don't know, my name is Jerry Brandstetter, and I'm the editor, the chairman of the committee, editorial news board. We do appreciate your support, and I thank you, Congressman Lemon, for letting us change to come today rather than on Friday. Tara, who spoke earlier, mentioned everything that I have on my notes. We're very appreciative for our staff. And also, the only thing that Tara didn't mention that I could remember is that each year, the Osage News receives numerous awards in their competition of the newspapers. And our editor, Shannon, is widely known among Indian country. You can walk into a journalism organizational meeting. Everyone runs to Shannon like she's the chief of the news. But she's very diligent in her work. She realizes the sensitive nature of some of the stories that we have to mention. We're very particular in what coverage that we have. Some people are dissatisfied with some of the things, the stories that are written. However, we do try to cover everything that's in Osage country. And please remember that the Osage News is only published once a month. However, there are some people that this is the only newspaper that they take any longer, because they feel this is very important to them as an Osage member. And since this movie has come out, they're very interested in becoming an Osage and learning more of their culture and activities. So everyone's an Osage, and we're glad that they're able to do that through our newspaper. But thank you, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much for your comments. I appreciate you. Congresswoman Rivard.
Thank you. I want to comment to what Jerry Jean had said. It just made me think about when I moved to Albuquerque, and you know, I was raised, and I just think maybe somewhat a little bit different that when you leave this res or jurisdiction, I didn't expect anything from my government. No direct services, nothing, because I left just the way I am. But I wanted my Osage newspaper. That was the only thing. Because it connected me back to, you know, home. And it was just really wonderful. And it just made me think about that, because I thought, I don't want anything from my tribe monetarily. I don't even live there. I want everything to be for our folks at home. But I do want the Osage newspaper. And so I was so excited when you started going digitally, you know. But it also still feels good to get it I have a P.O. box, and when I get it, I still get excited, like, oh, it's the Osage News. So I just wanted to share that, because I think you guys have done a great job, and because you are mentioned in our Constitution, you will be funded. As long as I'm here, I will fight for being tribally funded. I don't ever expect you to have to be independent because of what you write or don't write. That's what makes it exciting. It's the freedom of speech, right? So I like it when you guys write some racy articles that are like, yeah, what did they say? You know, even sometimes they include me, you know, and I'm just like, okay, well, I don't know about that. But anyway, I love it. I think what you do is exciting, and I just appreciate it. So thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman Rivard. Also, this is an opportunity for us to plug anyone listening in that if you are not receiving an article, you just have to contact the news via mail, or is it also via Facebook? Can I contact you via Facebook?
Yes, Judy? And we also have a mail out going out next week that is going to hopefully get some people back onto the mailing list. Because we do still get calls that they didn't know that we went to subscription only, another cost-saving measure. But even though it was on the front page for 7 months, but I'm not going to go there. Okay.
Right. So you can still get your free paper. You just have to contact the Osage News. Great. Okay. Are we ready to move on, committee? All right. So is there any action on this piece of legislation? Oh, no, not yet. I'm sorry. We still have the grants. I apologize. Thank you all for being here today. Okay. Section 48 is Office of Grants and Compliance. Treasurer McIntosh asked if we could put this on today's agenda, and I did not have a problem with that at all. Treasurer McIntosh, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, great. Would you like to take care of this particular section yourself, or do you have somebody else who's going to do it for you?
I think I'm going to take this section this year. We're working in that area currently to for our plan moving forward.
Okay, well, the floor is yours, sir.
Okay, and we're talking about the Grants and Compliance Department in general across the board for all funds, correct?
Actually, we're just talking about the Section 48.
They have a tribal and an IDC budget request that we have.
If I may, Chair.
Oh, yes, you can.
This is another one of those.
It is.
That are funded through IDC, and here executive comes wanting us to supplement tribally. Is that correct, Treasurer?
That is correct.
And so it looks as though this is mostly wages, and of course some IDC, even though they're an IDC program, but we're just starting to see a pattern, Treasurer, that we talked about last week. And I think the biggest change would be that you had a director over the Office of Grants, and it's my understanding that you guys aren't going to fill that position, but kind of lean more on your pre and post award directors.
Yes, currently that is the plan moving forward. I believe the previous director did a strong or an outstanding job in establishing structure in that area. I think that when that director was leaving, in discussion with the comfort level was that we could continue moving forward, maybe more direct a lead in that area as opposed to a director of grants and compliance. I'm also moving forward with another discussion as far as strengthening the compliance area, bringing in a consultant to assist in that area, but also in regards to that, but that is how we're going to set up to move forward.
So if I may, Chair, is that it looks as though last year we funded tribally at $44,858, and now it's increased to $212,756. You want to talk about why there's such a huge increase?
Partly due to the increase there, as we move forward into October 2024, and we're going to continue with this department to continue to support the Department of Health, the new Enterprise grants is going to continue to support them at this current time for at least 6 months, and it'll be determined after that. So part of that increase, as we can work to establish the fee for that, will be offset from income coming from health paying for that service, part of those services. In addition to that, I know in a lot of these committee meetings and a lot of these discussions and all parties involved and looking at how the IDC rate is coming in based on actuals for 21 and 22, then there is an attempt in these budgets to transition a portion of it over to be tribally, use tribal funds to operate with, as opposed to strictly relying on IDC.
Chair, if I may.
Go ahead.
Well, I feel like you guys are getting away from what IDC what the pool, the intention of the pool, and I think this is starting to become a new pattern that we fund IDC programs tribally. And it sounds like to me that it's just hard to manage, the funding. Well, not manage the funding, but it seems like you're trying to shove a service in there, but you're exceeding that, what you have available as far as IDC goes. And I just feel like it's not something that I support. I feel like for me, we shouldn't tribally fund an IDC program. That's just my own opinion. And are you operating now the Office of Compliance within the Office of Grants that reports to Treasury as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so that could be part of an increase to this budget, right?
Yeah, and when I look at the budgets on all three, fiscal year 23 compared to fiscal year 24, there's roughly about close to a $50,000 reduction in this budget.
Well, that's the information we receive from your office shows otherwise. So maybe I'm seeing this wrong. I'm showing last year it was at $44,858. Looking at the budget worksheet that was sent down. And then it was also showing there was not even any money spent from that, which is interesting. So I don't even know why you're asking for the money if you didn't even spend any last year.
Do you recall, last year we carried all those health support funds in Fund 1850?
Mm-hmm.
And that budget for 23, do you have that number?
Yes, I remember that.
Do you have that number?
No, I don't. I'm just looking at what was submitted to support the request of the $212,756.
So essentially, what was also ran in that budget last year in 22 in that tribal fund that was being paid for by the Department of Health was $120,000. When you add in the $120,000 to the $44,000 for 23, actually, there was a $165,000 operating budget in the general. So the increase is $47,000 would be netted against the $212,000. Slight reduction on the IDC that would essentially, I think, reducing that close to $100,000. One, to try to assist with the rate that people are pointing out. But that's where initially it offsets, reduced the IDC at $100,000. The tribal request increased $47,000 from previous year, and which nets out to a $50,000 decrease, roughly. So we're continuing to try to move forward with the objectives established by the previous director, while at the same time trying to reduce the operating costs of the department.
Congressman Keene.
Thanks, Tyler. And I'm not sure you can answer these questions I have. So I worked in grants and compliance before I got elected to Congress. So I have a few concerns. One, what's the difference between the post-award director and a grants management specialist? You know, can anyone answer that?
Yeah. Post-award director has a lot more involvement where kind of on the overall operation. Typically you're gonna have, you know, grants post-award specialists looking, they're gonna be, you know, kind of working on specific kind of grants. Your manager's going to oversee all that activity between those. And as we mentioned before many times, that, you know, on our CFA, when we issued the CFA, the amount of lines that we have on the CFA listed out for every fund that we carry is well above 200. And a CFA, for everyone, that's the schedule of expenditures for federal awards. this department manages a large volume of information, and there's a lot of restrictions and detail involved in each one of those grants. And they're not all consistent. There's a broad simplicity to what's consistent in all grants, but it's often like a, as I describe it, a basket of fruit. In a basket of fruit, you can have oranges and apples. They're all grants, but they're going to be different depending on the funding agency. Even within the funding agency, if you think of them as apples and oranges, there's still a number of different apples in that basket of fruit. And that can be true within the funding agency. So that's a little bit of the difference, is that the goal is the specialist to be a little bit more specialized in the details of each one of those activities and awards, where the manager above them would be monitoring at a higher level to make sure it's all being done.
Thank you. So at this time, do we not have a grants manager?
As discussed with the Congresswoman Rebard, we're currently moving forward with the current post-award and pre-award manager setup.
Okay. Yeah, because I know, or even in the recent past, there's a lot. There's been a lot of turnover in our grants department. So I hope that improves moving forward. And one last question. So as you know, a lot of these ARPA funds, we have a set time to spend the money. Does this compliance part of this office, do they play a role in that, or is that more in an accounting function? How do the two, I guess, kind of collaborate with as far as the ARPA tracking, I guess you could say? If you could just elaborate, kind of provide clarity to me how we're doing that, basically.
Okay. Yeah, if you recall early on when the ARPA dollars were received in the summer of 21, at that time, being the status of how kind of the situation of things, you know, we elected and we brought down an ARPA budget, and it's in the administrative budget, I believe, of the ARPA appropriation. And within that, at that time, we engaged BKD. Now that company is bought out, it's merged, it's Forvis now. So we engaged Forvis, BKB at the time in 2021, now Forvis. And we've had weekly Monday calls every Monday since ARPA has begun, where we discuss compliance. They have complete access to our purchasing system and our accounting system for those codes that are associated with ARPA. They're isolated to that area. And they review all of our POs, invoices. They identify if invoices weren't paid against the proper POs. They track and monitor, and they also do our reporting in that fashion. So that's how the compliance is being conducted on ARPA and managed.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. And Mr. King?
Yeah, so we constantly hear about, this is more probably to the public, about a forensic audit. I get on Facebook, we need a forensic audit, blah, blah, blah. I just want to emphasize our grants and compliance. They're tracking this federal spending. We have an accounting department. So, the program has had a lot of turnover, but this is an extremely vital department within the tribe. And I'm glad that I think you guys have the resources to continue to do a good job. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Keene. Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Congresswoman Redcorn.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. McIntosh, do you have any new positions either currently working in this department, or do you desire new positions in this department?
Currently, I think all the positions, I believe at this time, are filled, and I believe it's the same positions that were in the budget last year. Currently, I think in moving forward, the attempt is trying to reduce these budgets or these areas of IDC while still maintaining fluid operation moving forward. So I guess the request would be is that the budgets as presented would be passed.
Okay, so the budget as you have presented it for this office is not asking for any new positions?
I don't have the exact micro in front of me. I'm working from my overall budget file. I do not recall new positions being in there that we didn't currently previously have. But I will need to.
Chair, if I may.
Pull the micro document and look at.
Please continue. Yeah, that would be great, Mr. McIntosh, if you could do that, because at the beginning of session, when we had our first appropriations committee meeting, Mr. Frazier gave us his budget analyst review, and he has a pretty simple chart on there that based after on his research looking through the budget, it appears as if that office is requesting 6 new positions for this fiscal year. So I personally can't speak for the whole committee. I would like some clarification on that, because if you're saying that there are no new positions requested, that's not seeming to appear the same way to all of us when we're looking at these budgets.
Madam Chair.
Okay, I was going to see if, do you mind if Mr. Frazier has a moment?
Can I comment on that, Chair? Can I respond?
Madam Chair.
Sure. Okay, yes, Mr. McIntosh, give me just one moment, Mr. Frazier. I'm going to notice Mr. Frazier, and then you can go after him. Thank you.
Yes, that review at the beginning, just for some clarification, it's new tribally funded positions. So not all of those are new hires, but it could be that they are requesting supplemental funding for 6 IDC positions that they weren't requesting that funding for last fiscal year. Is that clear?
Yeah, that's actually what I wanted to hear.
Okay.
That was kind of where I was getting at, is that it kind of along the same lines as what Congresswoman Rivard has mentioned. Like these have been positions, even if they are currently filled, it's positions that have been filled otherwise, and now we're somehow needing to put additional tribal funding towards it. So, yeah, that's actually the goal of my question, was to circle back to exactly the point Congresswoman Rivard is making.
Okay, I'm going to recognize Treasurer McIntosh.
Yes, essentially, I think that comes from, if you look at the tribal budget last year, there was only a portion of 3 individual positions that were requested in the 1,000 general fund. But if you looked at the general fund for what activity for fund 1850 that's in general, you would have seen those positions in those budgets. So it's more of a transition, just kind of as the budget analyst explained, of allocating a percentage of every positions, allocating a percentage over to the tribe was one way to explain it. But yeah, those positions, that department, I believe all those positions were still in the 23 budget.
What was that last bit, Treasurer? I didn't hear you.
I said if we go back and review the 23, the staffing level should be close to the same. It's my impression across the board when you look at the grants department as a whole.
Staffing levels. Okay. I'm going to recognize Congresswoman Rebar.
Yes, thank you. Treasurer, you mentioned something, and the clinic, and they're losing their IDC. And I hear you. You keep mentioning it, and I know that was a hit when the health system is now its own entity. And I understand that, but at the same time, my comments to you last year was that I'm not operating out of the mode of, you know, IDC is a priority. I'm sorry that's taken place, but having our health system as its own entity is just, it's a betterment for our people. And I feel like it did take a hit, but what we're not seeing is the hit. What we're seeing is, well, let's just ask Congress to fund those IDC budgets tribally, and I don't agree with that. And I feel like that's going to be one of the main places that I will recommend to appropriations to cut, because I feel like we're getting away from what IDC is there for. And so I think that when we pass that legislation to create that CCI pay cost separately, and when Chief signed it, then at that point we should understood that we are not going to receive those IDC funds. That we never said that we would tribally support them, though.
Here. My comment.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, Treasurer McIntosh.
I recall that once the legislation was passed and I saw the legislation, I contacted y'all and made you brought it to your attention that, hey, this is going to have a major impact on IDC. And in that discussion, there was a comment made that said, well, just tribally fund it. I recall the details of that conversation. Because when I said this is going to have a major impact on IDC, that's when the realization occurred in the committee of that impact, is what I recall.
Congresswoman Rivard?
If I, excuse me, if I remember, there was an MOU, an agreement between the executive branch and CCL PECA, and that they would be paying for the services they still needed using IDC. And that it was going to be, you know, kind of phased to not hit so hard. But at the same time, I don't remember saying let's tribally fund it. And maybe that was said or not, but we are sitting here over projected revenue, which is against the law. We are going to have to look at this and because that's the outlay has been exceeded tremendously. You're aware of that. And is this one of the reasons? Is because we're now supplementing IDC budgets or programs?
Here.
It has to be a piece of it.
Okay, I just want to say something here. And then I'll let... I'm going to recognize also after this, Congresswoman Sabler would like to be recognized, and then I'll get to you, Treasurer McIntosh. Whenever we say that the outlays have been exceeded, that we are over projected revenue, it's a working process right now. It doesn't mean that we've broke the law for anybody listening out there. It just means that right now we're working through our budgets, and all the asks are over the amount of money that we have to give or to appropriate. So I just want to be really clear that. We are in the working process right now of trying to figure out and manage our money in a fiduciarily responsible way, and that this is part of the work that we do. And yes, the requests that we have out there exceed the bottom dollar amount that we have to appropriate, and that's what we're doing here is working through where we can find areas to cut back some. So. Congresswoman Sabler, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to go back to the agreement between the nation and CCLPECA because I wanted to know from you, Treasurer, so you all made an agreement as to the fees and they reimburse you for those fees. So is there a shortfall or a problem with them not wanting to pay you for those services?
Treasurer McIntosh?
No, there's not an issue there. I said this essentially, the initiative has been working towards being basically the health enterprise being on its own 10/1/2023. There's going to be continued support with the MOA. That is correct. There was an MOA. Put in place that came about, I believe, in June, July, shortly after, within that 60-day window after legislation was passed. It was within that 60-day window when, we kind of discussed the impact of IDC and why we need to go down that avenue and create the MOA. That's what got us to that point. There is no issues of receiving payment or anything of that fashion.
Okay.
As we're coming up on the finish line, the discussions are, where are things at today? What needs to continue? So what is not in currently in projected revenue at this time would be in an amount reflecting what we're going to receive from health. As we're getting down closer to this 10/1/2023 go live date, and it's been an ongoing process since the day that appropriate or that legislation passed. It's been a subject addressed every week since then. We're coming up on 10/1 for them to go live, or they're coming up on it, but still needing that assistance. So in reviewing projected revenue for 24, currently there's $0 showing for reimbursement from the enterprise, the health enterprise. With this setup and the MOA that's going to be in place moving forward, that's being worked on right now for those services, we're determining how to allocate and to come up with the fee for that. And then we'll bring that information to update projected revenue.
For 24.
Explain the answer. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mr. McIntosh. So you're
for 24.
For 24's, yes. FY24's projected revenue.
Correct.
Committee, members of Congress, anything further at this point?
Well, Chair.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
You know, I just came in just a little bit late, came back in. So when I caught this conversation, so with you knowing that there's going to be continued services for the health system from IDC, and I heard Congresswoman Rivard talking about the overruns on IDC or the extended, I don't know what to call it either, the unfunded IDC amounts, is that going to wash each other out, or is that what you're thinking? It's just going to wash out with the new billings for 24, because you would still need an MOA at that point.
Mm-hmm. When you say wash, do you mean by increasing the projected revenue?
That it would offset the...
This right here that we're talking about.
That's what I was wondering, if that was the idea or what?
Is that the idea, Treasurer McIntosh?
The idea would be I would not consider it a net zero effect. I think that there would be still an additional request for some tribal funding, but I don't think it would be at the level what the current impression is. It's easy to go, well, how come you don't have a number? Well, here's one of the issues. When you're providing all IDC services for 23, it's pretty easy. Here's what we do for everyone. Here's pretty well the services. Here's the rate. Apply it. Let's do it. But now we're carving out certain sections. So how do you allocate fairly in a grants department? How do you allocate fairly in the IT department and charge that out correctly? So, and there's also some services that are going to be provided in addition to that. So we're coming up with those allocation methods right now, working with the enterprise at health to establish that, what's fair. And we're looking at different ways for each one of those. You know, one measure for IT is potentially, you know, how many IP addresses do you have on the network compared to the total? And coming up with an allocation method there to try to decide, you know, is that a fair way to act to derive a fee for that service? Same thing for grants. Is it based on, you know, total grant dollars, quantity? What's the ratio there so that the effort that's being put forth by the department is being fairly paid for? So I do not have those numbers. We're working through that. Just like I said, we're coming up. Our focus has really been making sure that their systems are ready to go live, accounting, and having micro and accounting systems work together. So a little bit of the focus has been more in that area as opposed to driving these numbers. That helps. That's why I do not have the numbers currently of what that amount of revenue would be, but that we're working to kind of derive how each one of those areas will be, you know, basically a price will be determined for that service.
Okay, thank you, Treasurer McIntosh. So I just want to ask, I believe Congresswoman Shaw is a representative from this committee that will go to appropriations. We made a notation on the law enforcement before. We talked about that, about you making sure when it gets to appropriations, if we can make a notation on this particular budget also. I want to see if I'm clear on this, and maybe I'm way out in left field because I did forget that I wasn't here Friday. So I apologize, but Mr. McIntosh, are you saying that what we have in front of us at the 212,000 and some change, is that total increase is not reflected in the current projected revenue resolution, or it's this budget's going to go up even more with a request for an increase in the, also the projected revenue for 24.
Here.
Yes, go right ahead, sir.
No, the it would be an increase to just the projected revenue number. The budget would not, request would not change. And I mean, the way I think to look at this is essentially go, yes, the tribal request last year was 44,858. What the Department of Health was paying for last year was $120,000 for the Department of Grants, is what was estimated at that budget, is that they would pick up $120,000 of $165,000. So the estimate would be is that, you know, based and prorated out, the number would be based on that $120,000, just like in 23. Close or equivalent to that number of funds that potentially would be added to projected revenue.
Okay, thank you. So if we could just make sure a notation, Congresswoman Shaw is our representative for appropriations, to definitely circle back to this particular topic on this particular section of grants and compliance. If the committee's okay, comfortable with that also, we're good. All right, any other questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, we have now that I feel like I might be in order, completed all of our sections of review for ONCA 23-85. Is there any movement? If you recall, we just have to, we don't have to name the sections, we just have to make the movement of the actual legislation.
It goes to appropriations, right?
No. Chair would entertain a motion to report ONCA 23-85 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
So moved.
As amended.
As amended. There's a motion by Congressman Keene and a second by Congressman Maker. Any discussion? Congresswoman Shaw.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to make sure this is consistent with what we did last week.
Yes.
We went ahead and moved it out. Okay.
It is. Okay. I believe so.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, all in favor, please say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed? No opposed. ONCA 23-85 will be reported to Congress with a due pass recommendation. Chair, we entertain a motion for a 10-minute recess.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? We are in recess for 10 minutes. Thank you, committee. For the recess?
No.
He made it. He seconded.
He made the motion and made your second.
It dawned on me, and I was like, there is something wrong with me. I do not remember Jimmy Aldridge